please be seated. Well, I wonder what you're thinking, especially for those, well, all of us really. What were those readings about? Why on this day when we're baptizing Eliza, when we are living into the incredible joy of her new life and her soon to be new life in Christ, why would we have these readings? Well, this is not a day especially appointed for baptism, and these just happen to be the readings that happen to be. So, it is as it is. But, you know, the thing about baptism is it hasn't really changed that much in a long time, since it began, since Jewish purification rites were going on, and then Jesus, and then Christians. It's been the same, but every time we baptize someone, the day I was baptized, maybe when you were baptized, and today, it's a new day in our world. We are baptizing people into the life of God through Christ in a certain time. And when you think about it, maybe these readings aren't the worst readings for a day of baptism. The little apocalypse that we're seeing in California, I mean, there are so many things going on in our world that really speak to us of despair, that really speak to us of our need for something more. And for us, for Christians, we'd say God. For many people, we'd say God. What is baptism? What are we doing today? Why are we doing this? I just recently, on Thursday, went to hear Barbara Brown Taylor speak at St. Stephen's. And she made the point, as many of us are making and hearing a lot these days, we're in post-Christendom. Although she pointed out that, interestingly, 71% of Americans, of US citizens, say that they are Christian. So maybe it's not so much post-Christendom as it is post-church, right? And she goes on, and I'm going to come back to her in a little bit, but why baptize? Well, it's not to save people from the end of time, as you might have thought I was going to say, right, based on those readings. It's not how we view it in the Episcopal Church, and we are different than some other churches. Certainly, we can say in a general sense, baptism is salvation in Christ through the power of the Spirit. But it's much more for us in the Episcopal Church about living today, about living each day for God. And baptism is this ritual when we invite and welcome people into this very close-knit family of God as we've received it, as the Christian family. Every person who is born on this earth, whether they are Jewish or Muslim or no religion at all, atheist, every single person is a beloved child of God. Baptism is not necessary to make that happen. Baptism, in fact, is a taking on of responsibility, of saying, yes, I believe. And when we do it for our babies, our toddlers, our young people, we're saying as adults, yes, we believe there's something to this. Maybe we don't know what it is every day, but there's something to this that speaks to me of life, that speaks to me of love, that speaks to me of growth, even in a world where so many things seem to be falling apart. This is real. We're here today to do something real. Jesus was very real. Jesus was very real about what was going on. In our gospel passage for today, a very interesting thing happens. We go by it really quick, so you might not have heard it. This unknown disciple comes up to Jesus and he says, hey, Jesus. Wow, this is amazing. Look at the temple. It's incredible. All these stones upon stones. And the temple was the temple complex. It was huge. It was, some say, 6 football fields in size. So this was not a small thing, not a building this size. It was huge, with courtyards and rooms and inner places of worship and believed closeness with God. So this well-meaning disciple says, wow, isn't this great? But Jesus, if you remember what we talked about last week, Jesus was just saying appearances aren't necessarily what they appear to be. People in long robes, you know, they might not be all that. Right? When you see a poor woman putting her last two little coins into the treasury of the temple, certainly she's a wonderful, beloved person of God and showing great faith, but the system that made that okay, that this poor person would give her last coins, is not okay, Jesus was saying. And so he says to this man, you see all these stones? They're going to be on the ground. This is not going to last. This is not what's important. This gospel, of course, was written right around the time that was actually happening. In 70 AD, the temple would be destroyed by the Romans. And Jesus spoke about things like that all the time. He got into people's lives and he showed what was there while good was not the greatest, while good was not as wonderful as it could be, and that the things of the world are for now, but the things of God are for eternity. So when we baptize Eliza today, we are connecting her with our God of eternity. She will never be alone. She will never die. She will live on forever. Even though all the things of this world are passing away, we are held in God's beloved hands and will never be lost. Again, that's true for everyone, and then for those of us who are Christians, we've taken this vow. We're going to renew our baptismal covenant today to be for God in the world. There's a little book I wanted to share with you today. It's called To Pause at the Threshold by Esther DeWall. To Pause at the Threshold. We are, as God's people, always on thresholds, always about to begin the new thing. Not alone, but with each other and with God. I wanted to read a little bit from this book. She writes, in the Gospels we watch a Christ who in dismissing certainties shows us what freedom might mean. We watch the way in which he enters into people's lives and dissolves an existing situation, whatever it may be. The likelihood was that the condition had promised safety and security, but now Christ challenges the people to leave their nets or to leave a nice safe booth and to follow him. Of course, what gave certain and gives certain people security might not mean security for everyone. Some of those temples that are torn down, thanks be to God, have been torn down, and sadly we have to keep tearing them down, but say the temples of racism, the temples of sexism, the temples that exclude anyone, right? That's the danger, isn't it? When you have even this building, and you have a place, and you have a creed, and you have something that is defined, it can also define who's not in. So as Christians, we're always inviting people in. How are those temples destroyed, the ones that need to be destroyed, and really any? But I was thinking about the waters of baptism, which we will be having today. The waters of baptism and water itself. Water is living and active and moving. If you've ever tried to keep a building together, you know that water is generally not your friend. Right? Because it sneaks in there. It gets into all the crevices. It gets into that dark place that you thought was okay, but it really wasn't. It gets in there and it shows you what's really happening. That can be good in some ways. The waters of baptism are that kind of water. It gets in there and it shows you what's really going on. It breaks up the things that need to be broken down and lifts up what is eternal, what is essential, what is good, what is love. Jesus was like this. Again and again, he went into people's lives and did this. Remember the resurrection appearance where the disciples are locked in the room and they're afraid? The door is locked. And yet, like water that can get right under that door, Jesus appears. Whatever that was, whatever resurrection was, he appeared to them and got into their lives and helped open it up and let the light in. When we go forward as Christians, we are like little drops of water every time we do something that is following in the way of God. Each one of you, those stones, it may look like the water's not getting very far, but drop after drop after drop, we are breaking through. We are God's people breaking through. So remember how important you are, that everything you do, every small act of kindness is actually huge in the world. And this is really what baptism is all about, to be together, to affirm the good things of God, to know that we are not here just for each other, but for the world, going out into the world. Someone asked at this Barbara Brown Taylor talk, how do we evangelize in the world today? I don't think this man was an Episcopalian. How do we get out there and share the Christian message? And I love what she said. She quoted Gandhi, and I'm going to leave you with this today. Gandhi said that a rose, a flower, does not need to evangelize. It just smells good. People are drawn. Amen.